To him who loved us and washed our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory forever. Amen. The word of the Lord, which forms a portion for our sermon text, comes to us from the 15th chapter of Genesis. After these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. He said, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." Abram said, "Lord God, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" Abram also said, "Look, you have given me no offspring, so a servant born in my house will be my heir." Just then the word of the Lord came to him. God said, "This man will not be your heir, but instead one who will come out of your own body will be your heir." The Lord then brought him outside and said, "Now look toward the sky and count the stars, if you are able to count them." He said to Abram, "This is what your descendants will be like." Abram believed in the Lord, and the Lord credited to him as righteousness. He said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession." He said, "Lord God, how will I know that I will possess it?" The Lord said to him, "Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Abram gathered all these, divided them in half, and laid the two halves across from each other, but he did not divide the birds in two. Birds of prey came down the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. Then terrifying deep darkness fell on him. The Lord said to Abram, "Know this, your descendants will live as aliens in a land that is not theirs. They will serve its people who will afflict them for 400 years. But I will surely judge the nation that they will serve. Afterward, your descendants will come out with great wealth, but you will go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come here again because the guilt of the Amorites is not yet full." Then when the sun had gone down and it was dark, suddenly a smoking oven and a flaming torch passed between the pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram. He said, "To your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. And I will give you the territory of the Canaanites, the Kezizzites, Kadamites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites." This is the word of the Lord. The congregation may be seated. Mercy, grace, and peace are yours through your God and Father and through your Savior from sin, Jesus Christ the righteous, dear fellow redeemed. Do you promise? You have probably both been asked that question and asked that question in your lifetime. Do you promise? It's pretty simple. Maybe you were required to promise something when you have failed to do it in the past. For instance, a spouse might have asked you to, say, fix the screen door or mow the lawn. You said, "Yeah, I'll do that." And they say, "Do you promise?" Or perhaps you go up to a child and tell them, "Hey, guess what? We're going to the zoo tomorrow." And that child is so excited that they want a promise to reassure them that that indeed will be the case. Do you promise? We like promises because we know for a fact that people often don't do what they say that they will do. People say all kinds of things, and many different promises are broken. How many politicians, for instance, will promise many things upcoming for the upcoming election and then elected fail to remember those promises? We want promises because people so often fail to do what they say, and then we get these promises and they are so frequently broken. What if you had something promised to you that was simply impossible? Would you believe it? What if someone came up to you and said, "I'm going to give you $4.8 million. Would you believe that? The reason I theorized $4.8 million is that recently I had a very suspicious email that promised to do the exact same thing. It went something like this. Hello, I have a donation worth $4.8 million for you. I won the American lottery with $40 million, and I donated part of it to charities. Contact me for further information. I get emails like this all the time. Perhaps you do also. They often get filed out by my email service because it's simply too good to be true. Why would anyone do something like that? But it depends on who is making the promise. When it comes to the Lord making promises, we shouldn't be surprised or skeptical. Why? Well, because he makes us promises all the time, and when he makes you a promise, you know it's as good as done. He promises all kinds of things, but these aren't promises that the Lord makes half-heartedly or promises that he soon forgets. They are certain. They are binding. It may seem impossible at times what he has promised you, but with the Lord, nothing is impossible. Something that seems to be impossible is now a certainty with your God, and he promises much like and like unlike anyone else, the Lord always does it. And so we pray, Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. The man once known as Abram had a lot of things promised to him by the Lord. He was assured by his God that he would become a great and mighty nation. God told him to get up, to move everything to the west and then down to the south. He had done all this, and he was very blessed physically. He had a lot of possessions, a lot of animals and servants and wealth. Abraham knew that everything was given to him by his God. But even though he knew that the Lord does deliver on his promises, which he had made, those promises that he made to him, well, they were taking a bit longer. They weren't happening right away. Abram was not a young man here. At the time of our text, we don't know for sure, but it's very likely he was in his 80s here. God comes to him here first with a comfort and a promise. He says, "Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your great reward." Clearly, he can see here that there's something not sitting well with his servant. Abram was probably wondering what it was all for. He didn't have any children. God promised to make him a great and mighty nation, and yet there were no kids, and old age was certainly creeping in. He says, "Lord God, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" If Abraham, or Abram as he was known then, was to die, all of his possessions would go to a servant in his own house. That was not an heir. That was not family. What about the promise that the Lord had made to this man? God told him in Genesis 12 that I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How would any of that happen? He had no kids. Had the Lord forgotten his promise? The fact that Abram would ever have a child, let alone become a mighty nation, seemed near impossible. Sometimes I think we can feel this same way as well. We know what the Lord tells us in his word, those great and mighty promises that he makes to us, but it seems like they don't happen. It seems like he is far from us, that he is not going to protect us or heal us or keep us. And yet he promises all of those things. It's hard being a Christian sometimes. To walk by faith and not by sight is not an easy thing to do. But God does not forget about us, and he did not forget about Abram. He reminded him, using a very detailed image that we read about in verse 5. The Lord then brought him outside and said, "Now look toward the sky and count the stars, if you are able to count them." He said to Abraham, "This is what your descendants will be like." Have you ever been out in the country and looked up at the stars? We see stars every single night most of the time, but because of light pollution from the city, sometimes it can be hard to really see them all or see them in their full glory. But if you get out into the middle of nowhere and it's a clear night and you look up in the sky, it is simply amazing. There's so many stars, especially you notice this when it's a clear backdrop, just how many of those stars are there. According to one estimate that I found on the internet, at least, there are about, it's theorized, 100 billion stars in our galaxy. Truly too many that can be counted. And what a strong image here for Abraham, or Abram at the time, that many. How would such a huge amount of people come from him? Well, he and his wife Sarai would not have a son for another 15 years, we think. But they did finally have that son, Isaac, who was promised them here. And at the time of his birth, his father was 100 years old and his mother about 90. As impossible as it seemed at the time, Abram would indeed become a huge nation. And he believed it to his credit. Abram believed in the Lord, and the Lord credited to him as righteousness. Is he naive to believe this? Well, no. Even though the promise seemed impossible, the Lord was making the promise. Faith, that's what it is. It believes in the impossible, the things that don't make sense. We too can believe what God has promised to us, and just like Abram, to us too it will be credited righteousness. That is what righteousness is. Martin Luther one time said about righteousness, "Righteousness is nothing else than believing God when he makes a promise." Promises are meant to be doubted, but not with God. Never. His promises always happen. He is impeccable with his promises. If he promises you something, it's not going to be forgotten. It's not going to not happen. It is as good as done. God here renewed his promise with Abram that he would become a great nation, and he renewed his promise with him that they would indeed possess that land. Verse 7, he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession." It was the Lord who told him, "Move, get up, go west to a place I will show you." At the time, Abram was a stranger in a strange land, but eventually that land did become his ancestral home. But Abram wanted to know. He wanted to know, how do I know that I will possess this land? So God had him take three different animals, a goat, a ram, and a heifer, two birds, a pigeon, and a dove. And he had them cut those animals in half, but not the birds. Birds of prey from the sky saw a chance for a quick meal, but Abram chased them all off. As night approached, no doubt he was exhausted. Then as the sun went down, he fell into a deep sleep. Then, suddenly and terrifyingly, in the darkness, the Lord spoke. And he said to him, "Know this, your descendants will live as aliens in a land that is not theirs, and they will serve its people who will afflict them for 400 years. Basically, the Lord goes on to tell Abram the entire history of his nation, which had not yet been born. Isaac was still 15 years in the future. The Lord told him that their family his nation would end up in this land that was not theirs, which we know from Exodus to be Egypt. Then God would indeed deliver them from that. They would leave with great wealth. Then 4 generations after that, they would finally enter the same promised land. Again, a promise. Not an immediate one. It did not happen overnight. This would happen hundreds of years in the future. But God made it and God kept it. To further illustrate this point and this promise, the Lord did something interesting. Then when the sun had gone down and it was dark, suddenly a smoking oven and flaming torch passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Not exactly sure how that looked there, that what's described there, a smoking oven and a flaming torch passing through the pieces. What did that all mean? Well, it was a covenant. A covenant is another word for promise. But it's more than just that. You ever heard the phrase, cut a deal? Well, that comes from the word covenant and the idea baked into it. Back in these days, when two men agreed upon something, they would cut an animal in half, and then both men would walk through in between. This was to symbolize that if either of them failed on their covenant agreement, a similar fate would also then befall them. But here, if you notice, Abram's not doing anything. He's a very passive part of this covenant. It's the Lord doing everything. The smoking oven and flaming torch passes through the sacrifices. Very symbolic image if you stop and think about it. It would be in the nation of Israel who would be led by the Lord as what? A pillar of smoke and fire. God's covenant with his people is cut out of sacrifice. How many animals would that nation go on to sacrifice to the Lord? So many. But they all pointed ahead to a greater sacrifice, the sacrifice of God. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. Here God promised Abram nation a home, and it would be in this very same land that they would one day live. The amount of land would be gigantic. He says, from one river to the next, a huge amount of land. But so would be the people. Of course, this would not happen yet, but again, God is merciful. There's a reason why he didn't just bring the Israelites into the promised land right away. He wanted to give the people who were living there a chance. He says, because the guilt of the Amorites is not yet full. The Amorites are probably the largest clan of all those clans mentioned at the end there. So he was saying he wanted to give them a chance to turn to the Lord. And he would give them a time of grace, but eventually the people would move in and live there. So, what does all this have to do with us here today? It's kind of a strange text, isn't it? Probably not one you would have expected to hear a sermon on, I would imagine. What do a smoking oven, a flaming torch, cut animals in half, and an obscure ancient tribes have to do with you here today in 2021? Well, everything. It all has to do with God's holy plan for man's salvation. We talked a lot about how Abram had to wait for those promises of God to be fulfilled. But happened they did. Mankind had been given the promise of the Messiah at the very beginning, right at the fall in the garden. Since the beginning, the Savior was awaited. It took a long time, but he came, and he was born of a virgin in a manger. Think about all the impossibilities that had to happen from Abraham to Jesus. A son would be born to an extremely old couple. A son would also be born to a virgin. The nation of Abraham would survive through slavery, conquest, idolatry, and exile. through many, many different miraculous means, the Lord got them to where they needed to go. He did so, so it would survive, so a Savior would be born out of it. Jesus was the reason that through Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And then, of course, Abraham has an impossible sacrifice he's supposed to make, his promised son Isaac. He does so by faith, and then Isaac is spared. God has another son he needs to sacrifice, Jesus, and Jesus is not spared. He would not be spared because his sacrifice was what made the impossible reality. Your redemption was impossible. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We've all sinned. We're all doomed. But not even was it our deeds in our life, but even before we were born, we were born dead, dead in trespasses and sins. There was nothing we could do about our sin problem. We were dead. Life was impossible for us. Sure, we would have this physical life where we'd be going through the motions, but eventually we would die eternally. Eternal life, impossible. Eternal death, certain. And yet, tables get turned with our Savior Jesus. He took our place. He gave you salvation. He was willing to die in your place so that you would not have to. The Lord is good. How did he greet Abram here in our text? Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward. That promise he makes to you here today too. He is your shield. He is your reward. Faith allows you to believe this, that your sins have been washed away in the blood of Jesus. Impossible as it may seem, and because you do believe that Jesus has done that for you, it is, like it was to Abram, credited to you righteous. How often we fail with promises, or we're failed by them. What have we promised? Well, we've promised to be faithful to God. We promised to turn from our sinful ways. We have promised to live our lives for Jesus, and we break those promises. We fail with them so often and so greatly, we can't help but feel just hopeless. Truly, we are lost. Eternal life for sinners like me, no way. But now with the Lord. Matthew 19, Jesus said, he looked at his disciples and said, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." With your Lord and your Jesus, all things are possible. Eternal hope in a life with him in heaven, possible, not just possible, yours for sure. Jesus is our eternal sacrifice. We see him there on the cross. He paid for our sins. His holy blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness. I have been given forgiveness and grace, impossibly. At the time, Abram had no heir, no home, but both were promised to him, and boy, did he become a nation and have a huge home. We too seem to be like strangers in a strange land here in America at times. Is there any kind of future for us here? What's it all for? Well, we are all sons of Abraham. We have been blessed through his seed, Jesus. Therefore, rejoice. God has promised you salvation, life, a future, a family, a spiritual one, a home, a spiritual one, heaven. Will we have to wait for it? Certainly. Could it happen tomorrow? It could, but for most of us here, we're going to have to wait to be called home to our promised land. But the Lord has promised it. It will happen. It's only a matter of time. Should it be impossible, given our sinful nature, that we could look forward to heaven? But the impossible salvation won for you by your Lord is certain. With Jesus as your Savior, impossible? Well, that's nothing. We believe that in that promise, that covenant sealed by the blood of the Lamb by Jesus, that's credited to us as righteousness. We live by faith, and we live forever by our promised Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Please rise.